Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 368, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever, with thy presence blessed. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 368. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Case Alleman, who is undergoing tests in the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, faithful God of heaven and of earth, we come together again in the first day of this work week, when this day has been set aside for a special commemoration of that great event which thou hast given in thy church. Lord, thou knowest our hearts and what they contain. By nature, no desire after thee, taken up with all that is here below. And then to commemorate that great event, the sending of thy dear Son into this world. It was for that great purpose of reconciling thy people with thyself. And Lord, when we lay dead in sins and in trespasses, then we have no desire to be reconciled unto thee. We do not feel the separation. We have no impression of the wrath and of the curse that layeth upon us. And then we come to thy house, and then it is so often in a way of form and of custom, and that it is a commemoration that takes place year by year, but it has no profit for our soul. Lord, if we shall never understand that we have departed from thee, and then we shall never have a need that we may come unto thee again, that we may be reconciled to thee, never have a need for a mediator for our poor soul. Lord, we beseech thee in this morning hour, when we cannot give to ourselves anything, that thou wouldst give to us everything that we stand in need of. Oh, may it be, even in this morning, a true desire, a true longing to come back to Thee, whom we have left in paradise, even as that prodigal son who has said, give me that portion that belongeth to me. And he has gone away into a far country. No looking back again. No desire for his father. But so taken up with all the blessings of this world and all that is to be enjoyed here below. But soon it was all spent. Then he had nothing left. And Lord, thou knowest us also, that we do the same as he, and we have such blinded eyes and hearts that do not understand. Oh, could it please thee then to open our eyes this day and to see that a great reason that thou hast sent thy dear son to take upon him our flesh, all to pay the price for sin and to restore again into that blessed communion with the Father. All that birth of that Son of God may become precious to us, that it may become necessary to experience also in our own soul, and that thou may reveal him, Lord, unto those that are oppressed, unto those that can see no way to come back anymore, but to whom it has become a burden that they are without God in this world. Lord, may there be such ones that we do not know of, perhaps, and those that may have an inner chamber that may lay before thee in all their guilt and in all their sin, in all the pollution of their nature, and that with all their works they must say that it is all coming to nothing, that there is no way anymore. Lord, may thou reveal thyself to such ones, that it may indeed become a Christmas day in the life of those in whom it is so dark within, and that they have no light. But thou didst shine with thy light in that day unto those who sat in darkness. Oh, may thou repeat it, Lord. May thou come also in the day that we are living in with our children. For thou art the same, and thou dost lead in that same way thy dear church. But there are so often so many questions, so many riddles and perplexities in their life that they cannot understand the ways that thou dost lead them. And Lord, then that Prince of Darkness, he is so close by. Oh, may thou put him to shame this day. And may thou send him away, that thy people may have a little rest, even in this thy house of prayer, under the preaching of thy holy word. May thou be then with thy church, over the length and the breadth of this whole world, those that are persecuted for the sake of thy name. Strengthen them then this day, and encourage them in thy truth, and wilt thou bring it with power, that they may receive help felt from above, and that thou would restore the joy of thy salvation to all that do mourn and weep, that they have separated themselves from thy presence. But wilt thou return, Lord? Thou didst come the first time. Thou wast the Alpha, and thou also must finish it. Or wilt thou be the first one again to restore into that blessed communion? Lord, be with all thy servants that will go this day to preach thy word. Oh, may thou make it lively. May thou give liberty and freedom in the preaching of thine only begotten Son. Oh, that he may be altogether lovely, that he may be the chiefest among 10,000 to those that are poor and to those that have nothing in themselves. Lord, wilt thou look upon all those that are in distress? There are those that are sick that must be this day in their own homes, of the children of the congregation of parents. Thou knowest each one. Wilt thou restore again and teach us the frailty of our life, that it is but a shadow. Keep us from depending upon medicines and upon the wisdom of doctors, but that we may see what the results of our sin are, that we may be given true repentance, a true remorse, and a true sorrow. Therefore, wilt thou go with her that is in the hospital in this morning hour, that must receive tests for her body? Thou knowest all that is taking place. May thou spare her. May thou help her and heal her in the body and visit her in that place with her own husband. And wilt thou be with all those that mourn, also those that have been burned. Lord, wilt thou be with them in their places this day? Heal them in the body, strengthen them in soul. And wilt thou go before us as a congregation? Lord, we beseech thee for thy work and for thy spirit amongst us. Oh, thou hast given that we may be in the midst of this our flock. Lord, thou hast sent us to this place. May thou help us then also this day once again. Take away what stands in the way. Strengthen us in the body, in the mind, but also within our own heart, that we may receive of thy Spirit, because we have nothing, Lord. And thou knowest that we are of ourselves so empty. But Lord, fill us then. Fill us with love for thee. Oh, fill us with thy Spirit in a rich measure, that this people may not be disappointed, that have come to thy house of prayer. And oh, may there be those with a true hunger and a thirst, that they may not be disappointed when thou wilt give a little crumb from the table of the Master. Oh, then be with us, feelingly and believingly, with us and with our dear children. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 198, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son, with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. There is but one collection today, and that is during this song that is for our school. And seeing the need and the shortness, we recommend this worthy cause to you wholeheartedly. Psalter 198, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7. Congregation, Paul has written to his spiritual son Timothy of what he called the mystery of godliness. And without controversy, great, he writes, is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. A mystery. In so many ways, the work of God for the salvation of His own church is a mystery. And that is not only in the meriting of salvation, but it is also in the experience of salvation. That is, in the application of salvation. Because so many times, and then there are nothing but riddles, questions, perplexities, mysteries laying in the heart of God's true people. And now Paul writes, God was manifest in the flesh. That is the first step that he writes of this great mystery of godliness without controversy. That is confessed by everyone. That is without a doubt. Who is able to comprehend the union of the two natures, the divine nature and the human nature in one person. Not only in the essence of this, in other words, in the fact of this, or how that this can possibly be God and man in one person, but who is able to fathom what the consequences of this shall be. Because there is a purpose. And what is that purpose? That is that the Lord has come to reconcile. That the Lord has come to bring together again those that have been separated from one another. That is God and His own church. Or is there in our heart a desire on this Christmas day that we also may receive the fruits of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh? That we may receive that fruit, that we may again come into that blessed communion and favor with God, our Maker. Never have more remarkable events taken place in this world than these mysteries of godliness. Never have events had a greater impact on the human race, both for the welfare of the human race on the one side, but also for the judgment of the human race on the other side. Never have events taken place which are more significant, more important concerning the need of our body and of our soul. The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is remarkable, a mysterious union. And we see that also in the words of our text, that it is also in the circumstances of His coming. that it is not only in this world, but in the circumstances of His coming in the life of His people. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider this with you from the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The remarkable birth of the Son of God. First, a remarkable fulfillment. Second, a remarkable rejection. And third, a remarkable submission. The remarkable birth of the Son of God. First, a remarkable fulfillment. Second, a remarkable rejection. And third, a remarkable submission. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of that prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. Who has spoken those words? That was the prophet Jeremiah. That was when there was also a false prophet, the prophet Hananiah, a prophet who also did say, "Thus saith the Lord," but a prophet who was a deceiver of the people. So what did Jeremiah say? He says, "Hananiah, you prophesy of peace. You tell Israel that everything is going to be well. But Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee." And how shall we know who is now the true prophet? Well, we shall know when the words of that prophet who prophesieth of peace, when those words come to pass, then you shall know that the Lord has sent me. There are plenty of people in our days who do not believe that the Word of God is the truth, that Word of God is from Him who cannot lie. The congregation, that Word of God is being fulfilled. And there are many prophecies that have been written in that Word of God that are not just general prophecies, no, but are very, very specific concerning time, concerning place, wherein we may see so vividly in the blessed time in which we may live with our children that we may see all the prophecies of the servants of the Lord so certainly fulfilled. Thus, and when we see those exact fulfillments of the Lord, then we may be assured with certainty that the Lord hath sent these prophets, and that this is indeed the word of the Lord. That was never so clear in the history of all the world as it may be for us and for our dear children. And yet, there are many of us that do believe that the Scriptures are indeed the truth. And yet, congregation, we do not benefit from those Holy Scriptures because we are so satisfied with our historical, satisfied with our general biblical knowledge. Are we also satisfied this day? When we may come together in the house of God, and when we may commemorate at that remarkable event, is there then a people who have gone upon their knees in this morning and has said, Lord, oh, that it may be this day for me, that I may profit in a spiritual way from the coming of that spiritual king into this world. Today, we commemorate the fulfillment of prophecy. And that is a remarkable thing. Because what does that speak of? That speaks about faithfulness on the side of that God who cannot lie. That he has indeed brought to pass that word which he has proclaimed even from the beginning of this world. But when we speak about the fulfillment of prophecy, then we must not leave out the objects, the children of the Lord, those that may receive the comfort from that fulfillment of the prophecies of God's servants. That we have heard something, how that those promises of the Lord, they are given often in the ways and in the circumstances of impossibility. The congregation, they are also often fulfilled in that same way. Fulfilled in the way of impossibility. And we see that also in the life of Mary and of Joseph. Or for the true church, then it is fulfilled in the way of waiting. That is a waiting of a true faith. Jeremiah says, it is good for a man that he may both wait and quietly hope for that salvation of the Lord. And it is in that way of waiting. It is in that way of watching that promise of the Lord is finding its fulfillment in the life of God's true people. A remarkable fulfillment. So many prophecies have been prophesied of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot speak of them all this morning. But we will stay close to what we read in our text. And in our text, then we read first about the time of that fulfillment. What do we read? We read, while they were there. Daniel has prophesied of this time. He prophesied of the fourth monarchy, we read, being at its height. What was that? That was the monarchy of the Roman Empire. And it has extended itself so far that it is called the empire of the whole earth. In our chapter, it is called all the world. And Daniel writes, in the days of these kings, the kings of the fourth monarchy, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And then we read of that little stone, of that dream of Belteshazzar, and that it becomes a great mountain, we read, and it fills all the earth. That is, the kingdom of God coming to pass in that fourth monarchy. Jacob has also prophesied of that time. And what did he say? He says that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. That means that it will be at a junction. It will be just at that time that Judah is about to lose all of their dominion. That has happened over some time. We know that when they have gone into captivity, then they have lost their civil dominion. Then they have come and they have remained under the control of the heathen, of their enemies. However, then they have still had in their midst the ecclesiastical reign. And we know that even at the time that the Lord Jesus was on the earth, then there was still the Sanhedrin. But it was not long after that the very city of Jerusalem itself was destroyed. And that which has represented the kingdom of Israel, and not only in its civil authority, but also and especially in its ecclesiastical authority, that has come to a complete ruin. Thus, it was just before that this scepter has completely departed from the children of Israel that we read Shiloh came. That is, the ruler of Israel. Thus, that's our text that is speaking about the time while they were there. And then it is speaking also about the place while they were there. Where was that? That was in Bethlehem. That was foretold also. And then in a special way by the prophet Micah. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. We read here that it is the city of David, that is where that he was born, and so also that son of David prophesied long ago, and he also shall be born there. And thus we say a remarkable fulfillment. And now we cannot but think, but Joseph and Mary have known what the scriptures were. And they have heard also the prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. They have also heard, boys and girls, where it was that Messiah was to be born. And now we have heard in the day of yesterday, and that they have known well before the birth of this child who that this child was going to be. Then there must have been many questions, also many riddles that are in the heart of this Joseph and Mary. How that all these things are going to fit together. They cannot see that. Can you see it, people of the Lord? How that everything is to fit together in your life. Oh, then is it not so often that you say that it is impossible, that we cannot see how that the Lord could possibly fulfill what he has spoken unto my soul? And yet Joseph and Mary did not take one step ahead of the Lord. No, to take it in our own hands. Oh, we can only destroy everything. But they have, by the grace of God, been given to wait upon the work of the Lord. And how they must have marveled. We heard something a little in the day of yesterday also about the providence of the Lord. And how everything that is working together for the good of his own church. And how Joseph and Mary must have marveled at the providences of the Lord. So then the Lord, He is also in this way receiving all the honor and all the glory for bringing to pass His own word. Bethlehem was far from Nazareth. It was approximately 70 miles. Oh, they would need a very good reason to travel so far away from their home. But the Lord is able to provide such a reason. And the Lord is able to give them such a reason even from a place, well, that we would never think of. And so He does. And it came to pass in those days, oh, that was at that time, that the Lord had determined that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Oh, then Mary and Joseph, no, you don't need to take one step for the Lord, because the Lord is able, congregation, to stop the whole world in order to bring about His own will. We can read that 27 years before this time, that Augustus had determined to do this very same thing. But then the Lord has caused disturbances to come within that empire, so that at that time He had to forsake His purpose. Because it could not be 27 years before, no, but it had to come to pass in these days. And so Solomon writes that the heart of the king also, that is in the hand of the Lord, even as the rivers of water, and He turns the heart of the kings whithersoever that He will. We could read that of Pharaoh. We can read that of Cyrus. And now we see that also in this heathen king, Caesar Augustus. Man always going about to serve his own means, his own end. But the Lord in His providential government, bringing everything to His own end. And now we say Joseph and Mary must have marveled. But congregation, Joseph and Mary, they can only see one little part of that providence of the Lord. And they can only view one little part of the greatness of the wisdom of God in all of His works. That manner in which the Lord is bringing that Mary and Joseph into Bethlehem. The way that the Lord is doing it, that is serving purposes that are much higher and much more, and that go much further than just merely bringing that child that he may be born in that city of Bethlehem. But the Lord is going to provide an indisputable record for all posterity of the ancestry of this child. His ancestry. Why is that so important? Well, that all the world may know that this is He that was promised of the Lord from the beginning. In what way, congregation, could it be made clearer? In what way could it have been published better to all the world that this indeed is the Son of David, then in the manner that the Lord has brought this child to be born in Bethlehem, a decree from Caesar Augustus that everyone has to go back in his ancestral line, so that it is so clearly preserved in the history of the world, that it is so clearly preserved for whom? That is, for the blessed church of God. Oh, then there is a certainty, there is a comfort that the Lord is giving unto his children, and that this is indeed the Christ. But on the other hand, the Lord is leaving everyone in this whole world with such an indisputable record, without excuse. And that means also us, you and I. And yet, with all this proof, then the Lord Jesus is still rejected. And congregation, that is nothing new, because that has come already in the time of his birth. That is our second thought, a remarkable rejection. Isaiah has prophesied that the Messiah would be despised and that he would be rejected of men. He would be a man of sorrows. He would be acquainted with grief. When did that begin? That began already when he was still within the womb of his mother. What form of rejection did this take? We read that here in our text. There was no room for them in the inn. You say that is natural, because there were obviously many people there, so that inn that was full, that is not necessarily out of rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that so? Congregation, how many people? How many people in that inn were in that same condition as Mary? Great with child, we read, having come just 70 miles unto Bethlehem. Oh, would not one in that whole inn have compassion upon this woman? Oh, we see already here a rejection of Christ in his law of love. That is, to love God above all and my neighbor as myself. There was a rejection of this. And man is not looking upon this woman, but man is looking everyone for himself. Is that also our life? But congregation, it is in a special way. Also because of the poverty, because we can be certain that when another had come that was great in the eyes of this world, then there had been room made in that inn in such circumstances. But there is not a single person that lends a hand to fend for this poor woman. And this, congregation, was the controversy that the Lord has had against his people already for such a long time, that the Lord has condemned his own people, that they turned aside the needy from judgment, and they turned away the poor from their right. Oh, Israel was itself so poor. Israel was itself cast off the throne. They were sitting, lying under the dominion of the enemy. They were slaves. They were servants unto the heathen, you would suppose, and that they would have turned within themselves. You would have supposed they would have examined their own hearts and their own ways. But it did not humble them. No, they maintained themselves. They remained rebellious. Is that also our life? The Lord had spoken so many years to His people. And the Lord had prophesied by His servants that the Messiah was coming. And the Lord said who that this Messiah was going to be. And what was the character of this Messiah? And that Messiah, the Lord said, He is going to restore all things. Then what do we read over and over? We read that He shall judge the poor of His people. He shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor. He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy. He shall save the souls of the needy. Over and over again. But Israel did not understand. And that is why that they did not recognize the Lord Jesus when He came. And unknowingly, they have rejected Him even here in His birth. But that was just a little emblem of what they were going to do when He came unto His own. And then His own would not receive Him. No, they did not just not understand, actually, but they also hated and they despised that way that the Lord Jesus did come. Because He came in a way not of exaltation that they looked for, but He came in the way of humiliation. And the Jewish people, they maintained themselves even to the end. They hardened themselves until when? Till they were broken to pieces by the Lord in the destruction of that city of Jerusalem. No room for them in the inn. Paul, he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Because thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Oh, see what these Jews have missed. You see what they missed through their pride. You see what they missed through their self-conceitedness. You see what they missed when they despised the poor and the needy. What did they miss? And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, what did they miss? It was the fulfillment of the very prophecies that they are all speaking about. It is the fulfillment of the prophecies that all that Jewish people, they are looking forward to. It is the birth of that holy child. It is the birth of Emmanuel. It is that God with us. But it was their pride. It was their pride that did not suffer them to see Him. Not congregation, because He was too high to see, but because He was too low to see. Why is it that even the church of God does see so little of the mediator. Why is that? It is because they are so little in the right place. It is because they are too high. And because they are so little in this place of poverty. It is because they have too much. It is because they have made a foundation out of all of their religion. It is because they despise that way of poverty. And then they cannot see him. Why not? Because they come not low enough. Where he came. That is why we say a remarkable submission. Let us sing first. Psalter 186. 1-4. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me and lift me up on high. 1-4 of Psalter 186. Thank you. Our third thought, a remarkable submission, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Circumstances of the birth of the Lord Jesus was no surprise unto the Lord Jesus himself. This is the way that the Lord Jesus was willing to go for the sake of his church to have a seed that may serve him. Lo, he says, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Leaving the place of his blessed glory and honor and sweet communion with his Father to come unto this sin-cursed earth and to take upon him the form of a man, his own creature made by him. And for what reason? Oh, to restore in man that blessed image of God which he has lost in his deep fall. Oh, that would not have been a humiliation if the Lord Jesus would have come to man when he was in that condition that the Lord had made him, when the Lord had said, behold, it is very good. No, then that would not have been a humiliation. But it is not so. No, the Lord came to this world just as if he was himself a sinner, subject to all the consequences of the sin of man, though he remained himself innocent and without sin. And why? Oh, that he may present that church white and spotless and blameless before his Father which is in heaven. Oh, coming not as the rich and as those who may receive all the good things that are in this world, but as the meanest and as those that are in the poorest condition in this world. Why? That he may make them higher than the angels that are in heaven. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes we read he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And congregation, not only as poor, but we read also rejected, because there was no room for them in the inn, cast out as unworthy to receive even the smallest place here in this world, and then looked upon as men, even as the greatest of the sinners, even greater than a Barabbas, worthy, and not for the heavens or for the earth, but only to be cast out of Jerusalem and to be crucified. And why? That church may forever and forever receive that blessed communion with his Father. Oh, why was that? That Mary had to go along. Oh, it is probable that Caesar was the most strict congregation with the royal family. The Jews were a people that still spoke about that royal family. Then there was a king that was supposed to come. Then you can imagine that Augustus, that he had his eye also and his ear open for all that is taking place here among these Jews. And thus it is very likely that in the moment that the Lord Jesus also is born into this world, that he is also has his name enrolled as a subject to that heathen earthly monarch, Caesar Augustus. making himself of no reputation, but taking upon him that form of a servant. When the fullness of time is coming, then God is sending his son. He is made of a woman, and he is made under the law. Why? To redeem them that are under the law, and that they might receive the adoption of sons. Or we say a remarkable submission of that Son of God. The humiliation of the Son of God. Why? For the exaltation of the sinful human race. But congregation, how is that now in our own hearts? Concerning that remarkable birth of that Son of God. Because we don't doubt that you also believe the Holy Scriptures. That you also believe that the Lord Jesus, he is that Messiah sent from God. That he is the Christ. That he is the Son of God. But was he ever born in our heart? Was he ever revealed to our own soul? Was he ever received by us by a true saving faith of ourselves? That can never be. No, he is preached to us every week as the Savior of those that are lost, as the physician for those that are sick, as the Redeemer for those that are poor. And yet, a remarkable rejection. Is that not remarkable? A remarkable rejection against our own selves, standing in our own way, choosing our own destruction. Why? Because there is no room for him in our heart. You have not to answer to us. But you may answer in your own conscience. This day before God, is a congregation the same? This morning, in our heart, as it was in the day that the Lord Jesus was born amongst those Jews. Is it the same? The inn is full. It is full of the world. It is full of the deceitfulness of riches. Maybe it is full of lawful things. Maybe it is full of all lawful and needful cares, all belonging to this world. No room for religion. No room for the Word of God. No room for God himself. Is that the way it is, young people? When we are honest, there is room for labor. We enjoy it. There is room for pleasures. There is room for entertainment. There is room for everything. More concern how that we get through this life than how that we shall go out of this life. More concern for the things temporal than for the things that are eternal. for the things that are seen than for those things that are not seen. Or maybe it is different. Maybe we have a heart that is full of religion, so that there is still no room for the Lord Jesus. It's the way it was with the Jews. Oh, then there was plenty of religion. But then with their religion, they were proud. Then we thank God that we are not like all the heathen that are today sitting around a Christmas tree. We are in church. That is good, yes. That is proper. But when we are proud, then we are worse than they. Maybe so full of religion that we despise those that are poor in religion. With all our faith, with all our ability to hold on to it, with all our ability to believe, we come from the heights, we look down upon the poor in spirit. Or maybe it has become different in our life. Things of this world, they have lost their value to us. Oh, we have felt something of that missing of God, the blessedness of that true portion. And then what will that soul experience? That soul will experience its poverty, the lack, congregation, of all ability and of all that is good. You know what else? We will experience the hatred for that poverty. Our attempts to prevent that utter poverty. Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then still, no room. No room in the inn for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His work. The angels' congregation, when they came to the shepherds, they gave them a sign. And they said where that they should find the child. You hear it, people of the Lord, where they shall find that child. Do you desire that, people of the Lord? What did those angels say? You will find him in a stable. You're going to find him with the cattle. You're going to find him cast out. You're going to find him lying in a manger. They were not the ordinary circumstances according to this world. With the worldly comforts and with the worldly ease and with the worldly prosperity. But in a low, in a very low place, in a manger. And that is now the sign of the truth, of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life congregation of His church. In such hearts, He reveals Himself. In hearts that are destitute, in hearts that have been cast out, they are on the outside. In hearts that have been brought in such a low place. No, not because they are depressed according to this world, no, but because they have been given self-knowledge, guilt, iniquity, transgression, and there He reveals Himself. Not to give all the riches of the world, Not to give a beautiful palace in this world. Not to give all new things, no. But to give those blessings that will never, never pass away. Oh, to give another blessing. What do we read? Job says, so the poor have hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Hope. Hope. Do you know what a blessing that is? You will know what a blessing that is in hell. Because that is a place, congregation, where there is no hope. And there is a people who come to that place, no hope. And in that place of impossibility, then the Lord is revealing something. He is revealing that babe in that low place. And there that people, they may receive a little hope. No, it is not the full embracing. No, it is not to know that I am a child of God. No, it is not to receive that full communion. But it is an open door. It is an open door for such a one as I am. Do you see that pilgrim of Bunyan? He comes after Sinai to the wicket gate. And there when he is knocking, then the door goes open. And that is a picture of Christmas, congregation. Christmas in the life of that man. That for the first time in his life, then something of that child that is revealed in his life. And then that way goes open. A possibility for one who deserves and who thought and who expected forever and forever to be cast away. And then, oh, it is possible even for such a one as I am. O congregation, the Lord bring us into that low place. The Lord teach us what a stable that is within our own heart, that there may be room for that blessed child who came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou hast brought us through that we may bring this simple portion of thy word. But it is a portion that is so rich. Oh, what a place that thou didst take when thou camest into this world. Lord, so thou art the same God. And thou takest the place, that same place, in the days in which we live. Oh, and make our heart, which is so full by nature, make it into that stable. Then there shall be room for thee. Oh, instruct us in these mysteries of salvation, the mysteries of godliness. Forsake us not. Go with us further this day. Bring us with desire. Again in thy house of prayer in this afternoon hour, give us the ability to bring thy word. Uphold us from above. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 401, stanzas 3 and 4. His truth unchanged shall ever stand. He saves from strong oppression's hand. In him the sad a helper find. He feeds the poor and heals the blind. 3 and 4 of Psalter 401. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.